It's time for another episode of The Little Shows That Couldn't, the podcast for the shows that never made it anywhere near six seasons and a movie. You can tell from that music that we are still watching Stella, our final Stella episode, with you. As always, am I, the host of the show, Brett Medill, and with me, as always, the co-host of the show, Sean Stewart.
Brett, I gotta say, I'm a little bummed that this is ending, but I'm also looking forward to the future.
All things.
As to what the future holds for us.
All things must end, Sean.
It's true.
This is true. Stella ended almost 10 years ago.
Also true.
Barely had a chance. And you're looking mighty fresh today, young man.
Oh, thank you.
Fresh to death.
Right.
Fresh to death, Sean Stewart, up in the Heezy.
I know. I got a haircut from the Modern Man in Kildonan Place.
He modern manned it up.
Very, very cool atmosphere. Very nice.
Hey, Modern
people.
Man, hook us up with some free stuff now.
Yeah.
Hey, listen up.
This podcast now by Modern Man.
You can't just get on here for nothing. This is like there's like some deals that got to be cut to get on here, okay? I don't know what I'm doing right now.
We'll do it. Oh, you know what I could do?
What could you
is
do?
The one last yay fact I have for us.
All right, let's hear it.
Let's get that out of the way.
All right.
So yay is a synonym for the word hooray. And in my opinion, a better word than hooray. Because, I mean, hooray has the two syllables. You know, it's like hooray. It takes so long to say. Yay, you get it out there. It's one sharp yay, boom.
But in practice, many people do not throw down the yay in such a terse manner.
That's very true.
Often it's stretched out to uncomfortable lengths.
Right, yeah. That's true, too. But, no. I mean, it's still one syllable.
I'm going to make you a deal.
Okay.
I'm going to drop this character for no reason.
Okay, please do that.
I think so, yeah. It's probably a good idea. I don't know what's going on. Oh, it must be this terrible beer I'm drinking. We're gonna even out the local plugs by saying that the Half Pints local brewery, the Little Scrapper India Pale Ale, is not to my particular taste.
Not to your palate.
I'm not going to throw the old half pints under the bus, though.
They make some spectacular
yes,
brews.
Yes, Half Pints has made some good brews. So, but we'll carry on with the show. Not everyone that listens to this has access to Half Pints. And, you know,
that's your loss.
Yeah. So we're watching the 9th and 10th, the final episodes of Stella today, that are titled Vegetables and Amusement Park.
I wonder what they're about.
So we'll start off with here with vegetables. In this episode, the guys, they're not doing well financially.
They found out they're broke.
Apparently. And so they decide to save a little money every month by growing their own vegetables in the apartment. It leads to, shall we say, issues with their neighbors.
It's a good way to put it.
And they end up itinerant laborers for a while before Deus Ex Machina brings it home, because that's how so many episodes of Stella must end.
Yeah. To do their calculations, they have quite possibly the oldest adding machine in existence to do it with. Where do they find this stuff? Like, I know they're very intimate with their skilled artisans and whatnot.
Sure.
But I mean, yeah, like, where do they find this stuff?
Yeah, they really seem to be like scouring the pawn shops, and I think the reason that they're broke must be because they spend all of their money on antiques from the late 19th century. They seem to be basically like enthusiasts of the mustachioed rail tycoon era. Right? Like,
pretty much, yeah.
Like, these characters would be more comfortable if there was a damsel tied to some railroads that they could ignore. Right? Like, that's the world. Like, they seem to be more of, like, I mean, we often look at them as cartoon characters and we're like, oh, these guys should be belonging in Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoon. But yeah, that's really...
Or like, yeah, Looney Tunes or whatever.
There should be like a train robbery happening in the vicinity of these characters. They're out of time. Maybe that's all that we'll... Like, they're
maybe
also
they're like
psychopaths.
That's true. They are psychopaths. But maybe they're like a time sink where like maybe like all this old stuff just gravitates toward them without them knowing. I don't know. I don't know enough about time sinks to dig into this.
As far as I can tell, time sink is a thing you made up to try and make this point.
It's going to be my placeholder solution to everything in this episode.
It's your Deus Ex time sink?
Yeah. It sure is.
Time sink ex machina. I think that's probably a time sink. Is that like where you wash your...
It's going to be like the force for Star Wars.
That's where I like scour my armor is my time sink.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, right? Like that's where you go to wash up your Renaissance fair clothings?
I suppose.
Your time sink?
I getcha. No.
I hate you so much. These guys, I don't know, yeah, but they do, of course, have a predilection for old-timey gears. It's clearly where all their money's gone.
And old-timey skills and whatnot.
Yeah, but then they dress nice, but clearly they're dumb. True. They don't know how to grow vegetables. They just throw seeds willy-nilly all over their floor.
I would disagree with that, because as we see later on in the episode, they become very successful.
They don't
vegetables.
Know how to. I would say that they become successful incidentally their knowledge. Like, they accidentally become successful. They're just throwing seeds all over the hardwood floors. Like, that doesn't seem like it's a good idea.
I suppose. I mean, if you're not like a farmer or a gardener, then it would look kind
of
stupid.
Right, but so they water the floor, and the water, of course, goes through the floor. It ruins the girl's apartment, and they need a place to crash for the
night.
Who'd have thought? Now, so they agree to allow the girls to spend a night in their apartment.
Not without creeping on them and hitting on them beforehand.
I mean, the sexuality of these characters. I mean, we're wrapping up in this episode.
Right. Give it to a straight Brett.
I mean, I was hoping that rewatching the show, I would come to like a different conclusion, or maybe my memories were wrong or something. I just,
right.
Like, for some reason, David just sticks out as this creepy weirdo. But I think the way it ends is that they're all creepy weirdos. Like, every time that the sexuality of these characters comes out at all, it comes out disturbingly.
I suppose.
Like,
I mean, it definitely does, but I mean, I feel like David is still kind of pervy.
Like, I've got some theories we'll have to get into later, but I'm not entirely convinced that these guys are even humans.
Oh, really? Wow. That sounds like a whole episode in itself.
Well.
You sure we're going to get... Well, I don't know.
I hope
well,
so.
Well, let's find out anyway.
But so the girls are going to be coming over, so they scramble around to prepare their home. They do a lot of strange things to prepare the home for ladies. They set out a tray of tampons.
Yeah,
like,
you know.
Unwrapped tampons.
Yeah.
Because
that's sanitary.
What else did they do there, Sean? That one kind of sticks out
for
that's
me. Pretty much the only one that I remember, to be honest.
What do you recommend that our audience does out there when they are making their homes lady-friendly?
I'll recommend them to not put a tray of tampons out. I think that'd be, like, number one.
Okay.
Other than that, like, I don't know, some nice-smelling candles, maybe something vanilla-y.
Maybe that's misogynist,
some
Sean.
Fruit cocktail.
That's misogynist.
You're right. It should be musk. Leather musk.
Here we go.
Okay, so leather musk candles.
Here, I got you this lumber to split.
Yeah, we're going to be splitting lumber all night.
We brought in lumber, and we're going to split it here in the apartment with
then
you
we're
going
to sand it down, maybe make a hobby horse. Who knows?
We don't want to treat you ladies anything different like what we were going to do normally. And this is just what us guys, what we normally do here in our apartment. Normal guy stuff, hey? We don't want to give you any special treatment. We're all just people. So let's split this lumber. Let's split this lumber. Hey, ladies!
Hey, ladies!
Anyway.
I got the recent Halo game. Let's play together, baby.
But the sleepover, I mean...
It goes well. I mean,
it goes pretty well.
It gets weird.
The guys pull a little Dora with the audience to
right.
You know, that's probably pre-Dora even in 2005.
I think so. Yeah.
What do you think?
What
do you
think
we should do it, audience? Huh? And of course, we were. I don't know about you guys out in the audience. I don't know about you, but we were. I know I was. I was yelling at the screen. I'm like, yes.
I
want to see.
Yes, absolutely.
I
want to
see what sort of comic misadventures occur during this
sleepover. What kind of mischief?
And I don't know. I mean, how many have you ever been in a pillow fight that went too far?
Several times.
Yeah, like who were you in a fight? Pillow fight.
I was in a Shadow Clan.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, not a shadow clan, a pillow fighting clan.
Right.
Called Shadow Feather.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we dominated most of northern Manitoba.
Right.
With pillow fighting.
Hmm.
and it got south very quickly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's deep
thousands were killed.
There's a deep gambling roots in the old pillow fighting scene in Manitoba. So, realistically, I guess it's easy for it to go too far. What kind of things happen when it goes too far in your experience?
You know what? I don't know. Can you handle this kind of stuff?
I hope so. I mean, was there any sort of foreign objects ever introduced into the pillows?
Oh,
or
several.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Maces.
Okay. Wow. That's heavy.
Yeah. Really. Yeah. Try swinging that thing around all night.
Right? Everyone's like, "Oh,
takes a lot of effort." You know what I mean?
You'd think the judges would catch a pillow that heavy.
Oh, there were no judges.
No judges. Yeah. No referees.
This was no holds barred pillow fighting.
Wow, that's so underground pillow fighting.
A lot of rocks. Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Wow. You know, I've only ever gone to kind of above board sorts of pillow fighting occasions.
Right. Well, didn't I show you the scar here?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought that was from a cockroach.
No, that was from a pillow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow. We went pretty hard.
That makes sense now.
Those days are long behind me, thankfully.
Yeah, we want to pass them by, I guess. So it must have been hard for you to see the pillow fight go bad.
A little bit.
In this episode.
Brought back some Vietnam-esque flashbacks, but I survived.
That's too bad. But, you know, and then the sleepover, I think it has some high points, some low points. And, you know, and then it ends with a classy sex show. So, I mean,
of course,
everyone...
Just like any good sleepover.
Yeah, happy ending for everyone. But, the girls have their night, they leave, and in the morning the fellas are served with papers. They're
by
being
the girls.
Sued by the girls for the damages.
It's kind of a dick move. I mean, it's understandable.
It is understandable.
It's still kind of a dick move. I mean, like, they gave you, like, the best sleepover possibly you've ever had as an adult.
Yeah.
And you serve them afterwards.
Well, what can you do? These guys, they got troubles, you know? And, hey, but look. They might have a way to pay this money back. There's a sprout in the floor.
Oh, snap. The vegetables have taken.
The shot was really cool. There's a really cool shot with this where it looks like there's the sprouts are coming out of the floorboards. And that was a really neat shot. So there's that.
And
I
then
don't know. So
they sell vegetables like mad and become thousandaires?
Yeah. Well, as we know with these guys, ambition will get the best of them. They don't seem to need money. The need for money gets invented when it's, you know, appropriate for
when
the plot.
It's necessary, right?
The plot, such as there is a plot. They invent motivations here and there. There's no consistent motivation for anyone. Anytime. They're very plastic characters. These characters are made out of putty. It's not necessarily a good thing.
Very animated putty.
I don't know, man. I don't like the Mexican laborers. I don't like that choice. They go absurd so much of the time, and yet when they have a farm, they have Mexican laborers immediately.
Well, I mean...
Couldn't they have gone... I mean, I guess...
It's a part of American history, question mark?
I mean, you could make the argument that they did such a like stereotypical job of it that they were making fun of it. But at the same time, I wish they'd just gone a little more absurd. Like, at least, I mean,
like Chinese laborers or something.
I like when Trey Parker and Matt Stone have used Asian actors in place of Native Americans and stuff like that in the past. Like, that's funny. Like, if they'd used, I don't know, maybe. I don't know.
That Asian guy's great. I hope he's still around. I can never remember his name,
though. They kicked my black ass. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Orgasmo at the moment.
No.
That's for another day, Sean.
Yep.
Another day. You know, their ambition gets the better of them. I mean, David's greedy. I mean, I don't understand. How is their affluence newfound? Like, they've always been demonstrably rich or, like, idly rich.
We assume, anyway.
Idly rich. They've never needed to do anything before.
Right.
So, again, yeah, this is just shit that gets made up when it's when it's convenient. And their ambition gets the best of them. They push the farm too far.
Way too far.
Have to fire all the laborers, including including Sonny Luis, who wants to learn lessons from the Michaels and Mr. David.
Well,
patronizing and white privilege-y.
Well, I mean, it becomes patronizing later. I mean, at the time you feel, you know what, not even at the time it doesn't feel heartfelt.
No. Michael Ian Black is incapable of sincerity.
That's true. Very true.
Like, the least sincere person I can imagine, Michael Ian Black.
That's why he's so great in this show.
I mean, all of them are pretty insincere, but
yeah,
Michael Ian Black
is the most insincere.
Like, he sincerely seems incapable of sincerity.
So true. So yeah, they sell off the farm and become farmers themselves. Well,
you know,
workers.
They get the Dust Bowl. They end up in a Dust Bowl, basically. And you know, they became hobos the last time they were out of their home.
Why they didn't become
but
hobos?
This time,
who knows?
This time they have labor to turn to, and they become itinerant laborers.
Fun. And then they spontaneously break out into Sweet Low Sweet Chariot.
The most uncomfortable rendition of Swing Low Sweet Chariot you'll ever hear. Show
it's
starts
only because
it.
There were white people involved. Isn't
show
it?
Starts it. He can't sing, and their voices. This song sounds wrong coming out of their voices. Show and Black shouldn't sing this song. Like, it can't
for sure.
be done. And then when David joins in, they're not even using his voice. They're making it sound like it's just. I can't do it. I can't do it. It's too uncomfortable when they start singing "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot."
I found it uplifting, but whatever.
Oh, man.
Whatever. Potato.
Whatever. So they sing their silly song, and it becomes a Luis Ex Machina, and Luis comes back. After leaving you guys yesterday, I became very wealthy.
Yeah, and I bought this farm that you're now working today.
Jesus.
And everything works out. Sweet.
I mean, okay, first of all, let's go back for a second. What's a bigger transformation? Their apartment to a campaign headquarters or to a farm?
I'm going to go farm.
I think it was a little more drastic.
There's a lot more moving parts to a farm than a campaign office. Well, that might not be true, but there's a lot more with the vegetables.
Oh, this episode stinks, Sean.
It stinks?
This is a terrible episode. I am flagging on this show. This episode sucked. It was garbage.
It was all right. It started off decently, but
it wasn't very funny.
Kind of petered off.
It gets uncomfortable. Everything
works out.
I legitimately did not enjoy this episode.
Okay, fair enough.
I think that these guys are either psychopathic humans or
I'm pretty sure that's been established
half
enough.
Human reptile people that are in training, but they're not blending in yet. They're in like a halfway house to being blended into society.
Oh, snap. Things are getting real.
Think about that. Yeah.
I will think about that.
Grassy Knoll, Sean! Grassy Knoll, Singularity, Year 3000, the Illuminati are coming for your children!
Pyramid in the money! Pyramid in the dollar bill!
Follow the chemtrail money into the sky!
Follow the money.
That's my little...
McDonald's.
Yes.
All goes to McDonald's.
I don't know, man. I think Michael and David might be the bad guys on this show.
You think so?
It's pretty... Ugh. I don't know, man. Let's just... Number 10. Okay. Last episode of this friggin' series.
Amusement park.
Where, of course, due to the budget of... The obvious low budget of this show, at no point do they go to an amusement park. No.
For sure.
They don't even really think of going to an amusement park in the production room.
There's a lot of tension in the apartment. The guys are having not necessarily falling out, but they're not doing so great.
They check the weather for the amusement park. They got to check the weather, of course.
Well, it rains before they check the weather.
Oh, right.
But they check the weather afterwards, and it does not look good.
You know, yeah.
The forecast is saying all kinds of rains everywhere in every district.
Yeah.
On the earth, on the entire earth.
Every county.
Right?
Even Doody Butt County.
Even Doody Butt County?
Well, yeah, so the guys are kind of having a bit of some tough times. They can't agree what sort of birds are the most offensive, and they end up in therapy. Really, the girls send them to therapy. They recommend therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And
they don't
but
take
can,
it right away. No,
I don't
they
know,
can take it.
Can Dr. Hirshhorn really be the voice of reason, or is he a nutcase?
Oh, he's nuts. He's out of his mind.
I mean, I think...
The first look of him, you're like, okay, this guy's mentally ill.
Yeah,
okay.
This guy's deranged.
Perfect.
Where's the range? This guy's been removed from that range.
There is no range.
Yeah.
He has no range.
Yeah, that's right. You take this guy on The Price is Right, he will not win the range. no matter how nice it is. No matter how easily he gets set up to win it, it won't matter. All he'll have to say is $1 to win a range, and he won't do it. He's deranged.
I suppose. I feel like we missed the whole segment where they try to imagine the amusement park.
Yeah, you know, I did that once when I was in preschool.
I did,
and
too.
I came to the same conclusion they did, which was like, screw
it's
this.
It's not fun at
all. This isn't fun. This is all, this is like, you know what? That's like camping, Sean. It's something that poor people pretend is fun to make themselves feel better.
Right.
That's what pretend amusement park is. It's camping. Camping.
Or survivalist simulator, depending on how you look at it.
Well, yeah. You know what? Most poor people are only a couple of steps away from camping all the time. So, like, I don't. So, is it really a vacation or is it preparation for the worst?
I'm going to go with preparation because people think things are going to go south very quickly. But
oh, this isn't vacation, kids. This is just in case of the apocalypse. So, I'm sorry.
Did anybody forget their gas masks? Tell me now before I take this turn.
Daddy's going to call it apocalypse training, but really what it is if Daddy misses one more day of work, we're going to have to live this way.
We're going to have to forage for real.
Now listen here. I'm gonna show you which nuts is safe to eat.
Don't take a risk with mushrooms.
I don't know why that character had to be all backwoodsy like
that.
You know
that's
what?
Offensive.
It wasn't
more offensive than me saying candles for women.
It wasn't because of the survivalist aspect. It was because I'd already set up that he was about to lose his job,
right,
which is actually more
probably
offensive.
More, yeah.
So like, I want to be very clear that I understand that it's offensive, but Now get back here and sharpen my knives. I don't know.
Rocks are good sharpeners.
Yeah, well, if
that's
find
a survivalist pro tip.
There you go. Survivalist pro tips.
You're welcome.
Here you go.
Hashtag you're welcome.
Hashtag you're welcome.
Hashtag Coney 2012.
You know, they get shanghaied. We learn not to get into a physical confrontation near a therapist because apparently apparently a therapist is like Catwoman in the 1960s Batman.
Okay.
She can just snap her fingers and goons appear out of nowhere to subdue her enemies. So yeah. I see Dr. Hirshhorn very much as a Julie Newmar sort of character in this episode.
Not so much God damn it, who else played Catwoman?
I think at one point Pam Grier played Catwoman briefly. She was a big brassy black lady. There was at least, I think, three Catwomen on the 60s Batman.
One was black, and I was trying to remember
that,
her name.
I think that was Pam Grier.
Pam Grier? Okay,
I believe
Pam Grier
was the one who played. Well, I am naming a black actress from the 60s and 70s.
Very, very good chance.
It's entirely possible that I'm right, or I'm racist. It's really a coin flip at this point.
You know what? I think it's like 90%, 10% at this
You're
point.
Right. I mean, how many black actresses were around in the 60s
I'm gonna
that
say
a
very
white
few.
Person's whose name they would know?
I'm going to say very
That
few.
Was awkwardly phrased, but you understand my
I
point.
Get you. Now let's
anyway,
get off this uncomfortable
yeah,
topic.
We've already, anyway, so the goons are hired. The goons appear, and the boys are shanghaied into some sort of a mental hospital. Again, like 75 years ago would happen.
Right.
These guys, the world they exist in is a cartoonish version of 100 or plus years ago. Like, I just, it's very odd.
I feel that it wasn't explained that they're very rambunctious, which is why he did the snapping of the fingers.
Well, come on. I mean, they got into a
giant fight, like big old fist fight and brawl.
Well, they needed to.
They did. They needed to release some tension and just get it all out.
Yeah, yeah.
David got like a 3 bottles smashed on his head. And
well, I mean, it devolved. I mean, they were competing with each other in their therapy a little bit. I mean, like, what? I mean, I had a friend when I was a kid. Well, friend maybe a loose, but in order to make himself interesting, he told people he had cancer, and he didn't.
Oh, that's
you know, like
wonderful.
What fictitious? And so David started naming all sorts of fictitious illnesses that he claims to have had to make himself interesting. What sort of illness, Sean? If you could claim one illness that you had in childhood that would make you seem like a more interesting adult. Like, what? Like, not a lot of people ever ask you the question.
No,
what
they didn't.
Childhood illness results in the most interesting adults?
I thought I had appendicitis for the longest time. For like years. So I'm going to go with appendicitis.
You thought you had appendicitis for years?
Yeah.
Really?
Not necessarily that I had it, but the fear of getting appendicitis was so much that it like just became like I enveloped myself in this like, oh my God, I think I have appendicitis like right now.
So like anytime you had like a little gas pain or like a stomach discomfort, like, you were
Oh shit, appendicitis.
My appendix is about to explode and I'm going to die.
Guys, I have appendicitis right now. I need help. The worst appendicitis.
So Sean's been to the hospital unnecessary. He's paid. He's paid out of pocket for 74 different ambulance trips. It's really been the largest drain on Sean's personal finances.
Did you know that after 7 ambulance trips, it becomes you get your next ride free?
Really?
Yeah.
So you've had you've gotten at least like 9 free ambulance rides.
Yeah.
But that doesn't discount the fact that the other 65 have cost
completely
in the neighborhood of $1,750 each.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I know that the taxpayers are picking up some of that money, as they should.
Right.
As they should.
As you should.
You were afraid. You were afraid.
I was.
And
they should have
a little understanding.
It could have been anything, Brett.
That's right.
It could have been anything, audience.
It could have been appendicitis.
Who knows? It definitely could have been.
You could have been on death's door.
Sure, the pain was on my left side. I don't care. Could have been appendicitis. You don't know.
So anyway, they end up doing all sorts of different types of therapy. They paint Garfield.
Yep.
Which,
how did that not work, by the way? I mean, they say that none of the therapy works. I thought that was pretty successful. I mean, sure, they painted Garfield, but I don't see how that couldn't work.
Yeah, it's like a million. It's like an infinite number of monkeys painting an infinite number of paintings for an infinite length of time will eventually paint Garfield.
That's true.
And at that point, all should be right with the world. And yet it didn't work.
And it didn't work.
Even Garfield's lasagna-loving, Monday-hating face couldn't cure the fractious relationship of these gentlemen. So things have to go drastic. They dip into hypnotherapy and they go back into the Middle Ages where their conflict results. Sean, we've got a long history together, a lot of personal conflict.
There was that one time in the feudal ages.
I was going to ask you, what age do you see our
remember
conflict?
Remember that time we invented the steam powered engine?
Yes.
That was a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was stolen from us, as I recall.
Who did?
It was stolen from us.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, we lost all the millions that I was murdered.
You were murdered.
By you.
Then,
you stole my steam engine.
Yeah, and then I stole them, and then I sold them to the Japanese.
That's right.
Japanese. Then I made tons of money.
The Japanese, as everyone knows, credited as inventing the steam engine. Thanks to me, stolen by Sean, sold to
welcome.
The Japanese.
You're welcome.
Here's what we need to know. Snaps are audible over power saws.
Snaps?
Nothing is working. So the doctor announces that he's going to cut their friggin' brains out.
He's going extreme.
And they have power saws going. They're all strapped to the table. When the doctor snaps his fingers, everyone can hear that over the power saws and stops what they're doing.
Who are the surgeons but the girls?
They're not surgeons at all.
What? What just happened?
Or
and then
they?
The curtains pull away. And we realize we're in the apartment the whole time.
In the apartment the entire time. It's like a The Game type situation. The David Fincher movie with Michael Douglas. You ever see that one?
No, I haven't.
Well, the whole movie's a ruse.
Shit.
It's all a ruse.
Well, thanks for spoiling it for me.
For the party. At the end, it was a party. It was all fake the whole time.
It was there the whole time.
Shyamalan twist.
The old Shyamalan twist. And it turns out Justin Lord was in charge of it the whole time, too.
Yeah.
And has been doing deep reconnaissance on them since the very beginning of this season.
The most deus exist of deus ex machinas. The machinist
that
of machinas.
That was the sound of my brain exploding.
Yeah. Yeah. Exploding
we go deep into this
exploding
one.
With convenience.
And
it's all so very convenient.
And then it ends on a dance number.
This episode is also bad.
I like this episode better than the other one.
Yes, but it's also bad. You know what? This episode should end with a slow zoom out going past the walls outside of the building until it reveals that they're inside of a 3D model built by several deranged lab monkeys. Like, it's I feel like I've been robbed. This show just ends after 10 episodes, and I feel as though I have been robbed of an explanation as to where the hell all of this has been coming from or leading to. And you know what?
You expected
the answer is nowhere and nothing. And you are correct, sir. I, like, you know, there was me with my childish expectations of subtext and character and development and plot. And you know what? That's just not what this show is.
That got thrown out the window before getting set on fire.
I
said that incredibly complicated, but I'm not taking it back. Fuck it.
I hate everything.
So, who's your MVP, Brett?
My MVP is Justin Lord.
That's a pretty good MVP.
I'm giving it to Justin Lord for his season-long appearances. Ruse. His ruseful appearances.
His ultimate ruse.
Ugh.
Justin Lord, how dare you? I'm going to go with Michael Showalter because I haven't picked him yet.
That's why?
That's the only reason
That's
why.
The reason.
Because honestly, everybody else, I can't pick an MVP between these
guys.
He
needs a little props, eh?
A little bit.
His name's Doug.
Mad props.
He's Doug.
Doug, Dad.
I'm Doug.
I'm out of
Shout out to the state. So, well, Sean, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at things, we have reached the end another series. That bell is tolling for Stella here on the little shows that couldn't. And we're going to ask Sean to take his moment behind the pulpit next to the open casket of Stella.
Yeah.
And say a few words.
I just, before I start, I want to dedicate this to Marcus because.
Thanks. Marcus. Marcus. Who's Marcus?
Right. Yeah. That's
yeah, you're right. No, right.
That's stupid.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Bagpipes. Today, we are honoring Stella. Dumb comedy dressed up in a suit. We will miss David Wayne's pervert antics, Michael Ian Black's dismissive behavior, and Michael Showalter's spontaneous acts of violence and crime. We will miss the way the Michaels ganged up on David, the several designer suit casualties, and the way how no matter what screwed up situation they get themselves into, everything always worked out. We will miss the girls badgering the guys every chance they get, and we will miss our favorite disguises from Gary Meadows. Every scenario they found themselves in managed to warm our hearts with laughter and absurdity. And for that, we give one last
yay
to send off this wonderful series. Stella, we hardly knew ye. Maybe we'll see you on Adult Swim.
I did like the mustaches. I didn't like how they... Hey, you know how they got out of all those jams, Sean? Because they wrote the show. That's how they got out of the jams.
What?
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to leave it on this note for you.
Oh, no.
Join us next time on Little Shows That Couldn't. At Brett Mad, at Sean Stewman, at Little Shows Pod. Smell it.
.com.